Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the church today.
Hello and welcome to the Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers. I'm pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, a southeastern suburb of London. I'd like to invite you to attend the Divine Service with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. If you don't live, however, in the area, and you live down in the Medway towns, why not come along the first Sunday of each month at 3 o'clock to our mission service down in Kent? We meet at the Evangelical Free Church on Widmore Road in Raynham, 3 o'clock the first Sunday of each month. I also help out with St. Columba Lutheran Church in East Kilbride, Scotland. They meet each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. So if you live in the Glasgow area, why not come and join them for their worship services? I know you will be very warmly received. I'd like to also thank you for your prayerful and your financial support of Lutheran Radio UK. Without your prayers, without your contributions, we would not be able to carry on this ministry of global outreach with the Word of God, with the love of Jesus, with the forgiveness of sins in His name that we are so glad to be a part of. So again, we thank you very much for your prayers and for your gifts. Last week, we began a conversation with Dr. Carlos Walter Winterly. He is the rector of the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Swanee, Pretoria, South Africa. And he is formerly a pastor and former president of the Lutheran Church in Brazil. Dr. Winterly, welcome back.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Now, last week we were talking about some of the work you were doing in Mozambique and also in South Africa, but as you mentioned, your roots begin in Brazil, and a lot of mission work that took place in Brazil sort of set the stage for what you're doing now. So maybe if we wind the clock back a little bit and go back to Brazil, and can you tell us a little bit about what happened to it with the formative years, as it were, that have helped impact what you are doing today?
When I graduated and was ordained, I was sent as a missionary to the huge city of São Paulo to plant a new church in one of the townships there, a very poor area. And God blesses a lot working with children and through the children with the parents. And we begin with home visits and Bible studies, and after this services and so. And I worked there with God's blessing for 15 years. The congregation became independent, more than 300 members, was able to build a church and personage and whatever more so. And I always like to say when the cycle was ending, after the 15 years, then I got a new call to an old established congregation that was really comfortable in their own situation. And then I came there. And it was a huge challenge to awake people for the mission. But God bless us again in all the work of mission down there. 10 years I was pastor there. And after this, I was president of the church for 2 terms. And then I came to Africa as missionary to Kenya. It was something amazing in Kenya, especially the social work that was doing there among HIV/AIDS orphans and street boys. It was the worst of poverty that I have ever seen. And it was a really good experience in mission. And all this kind of work after this in Cape Town too shaped me to help the students of the seminar and the candidates in Mozambique also to have a mission vision, not just to maintain a congregation like some pastors think about, but always to look for opportunities to share the gospel. And this is one of my tasks as rector of the seminar, not just to give classes and to teach them dogmatic or whatever more is necessary, but to encourage them to have a mission vision for their ministry and to share Christ with those who don't know Christ yet, or are far from the Christian fellowship, how to do it. And so this is the big challenge I'm facing now at the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Schwenning.
So help us then, when we are living in our neighborhoods, How might we use that vision to spot opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus with our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues at work? Maybe we're scared or maybe we're a bit timid. How can we have a better vision?
Some people are scared, really, to witness with words. But I had very good experiences during my ministry that some people came to faith just observing the Christians. It is said from the beginning of the Christian church that the enemies, they comment among themselves, look how they love each other. Look how they love each other. What is behind this? And I remember in the mission in São Paulo, one family came to the church and he was very reluctant. He had a spiritist background, yeah? And then God worked in his heart, and he became a Christian, Lutheran Christian. Once he told me, I didn't share it with my family that I'm now a member of the Lutheran Church. But they are always asking me, what happened? Your behavior is so much nice. You are such a kind person. What is happening with you? He said, this gave me the opportunity to witness to them. This means sometimes it's not necessary to use words. But our example, going to the church, our example in the family, in our job, as we are witnessing to our deeds that we are Christians, that we have God's love in our life, in our heart, and showing that love to other people, this is fundamental for a good witness. Because if I give a word witness, but my deeds don't correspond to it, people do not believe it. You know, our life must be a light, like Jesus said, shining to the others.
Hearing your story, God bless you for working with those AIDS victims and the street children. But I can hear people going, that's wonderful. I'm glad you're doing that. Hallelujah. But I don't have that opportunity, or I don't even think I could do that. So how can God use us, the average person where we're living, whether they're working in a shop or they're a nurse or a teacher or working in a bank or whatever we do, butcher, baker, candlestick maker?
I like one text from the gospel when Jesus healed a demon possessed and he wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to go with Jesus and the disciples. And Jesus said, no, go back to your family. Go back home and tell them what God has done for you. Means we don't have to be creative, or how can I say, we have just to tell or show what God has done for me. And there is no rule how to do it. This must be something spontaneous for those people, like I mentioned, who work in a public place, in a school, in a bank, or whatever more so. Yeah, just sharing God's love with the people, being kind with the people, and if they have opportunity to share a devotional book or a pamphlet or whatever more, sometimes just leaving it on the desk or offering a Christmas card or an Easter card that has a Christian message for them, it's a good beginning. The work God will do. We have just to witness. God will call his people.
But I can hear someone else saying, okay, Dr. Winterly, that sounds great. But, you know, if I witness to my family or my close friends, they actually know what I'm really like. You know, they've seen me without that mask. They know my anger or my faults. How can I actually witness to Christ to them in spite of all my difficulties and my troubles?
One of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. It means if someone shows anger very often, he has to pray and ask God, please help me to control myself in my anger. Help me to witness through my life, through my wife, through my children, to my neighbor, to my colleague and my work and my job and whatever more so. As I say, this is no formula, ready formula, no. It is really a spontaneous way to witness. And sometimes you will be successful, sometimes no. I always remember when I was senior pastor of the Lutheran Hour at that time, he told me once, yeah, we are here just speaking to a microphone. We don't see people who are listening to us. This is a situation that is happening just now in that radio interview. But he said, but once in heaven, I'm sure that many people will greet us and will say, oh, thank you, because I came to faith in Jesus and I'm here now because I listened to you in the radio. We cannot measure the result of our witnesses through the radio or personally or whatever. We cannot measure. We have just to give witness the best we can. And the rest is with the Holy Spirit. He will do his work.
So as you are working then in Africa, how do you bring this practical vision of witness into your teaching, into your work in South Africa and Mozambique? Are there ways that you try to import this to your students, to live it out to them, to do it as an example?
Yeah, I think this is the opposite of selfishness, yeah? If someone is selfish, he will be concerned only about himself. And this is not the correct way of life. We have to be concerned about the others who are around us. We don't need to cross the ocean like I did to be a missionary, but we can witness where we are. This means I never did plan to come to Africa. It just happened by God's grace. And I'm using the opportunity God gave me to do the best I can. I know that I have a lot of failures and I'm not corresponding sometimes what people are expecting. But before God, I always ask for strength and forgiveness, giving thanks for the opportunity He's giving me. And I think so by example, you can influence the students of the seminar. That's what I think. They are giving this witness. And also the people around where you are, just by example.
I think back to my own experience going to seminary, it seems like a million years ago. But I do remember being influenced greatly by a number of professors who really did help mold and shape me and had a profound and still have a profound impact on my ministry. Is that kind of what you're hoping that the seminary there will do for these students?
Yeah, it is already happening. The students are witnessing it. And Bishop Dieter from South Africa, he said to me once, we all are shaped by our professors, if we want or not, but we are shaped by them. Means if you are a professor only in class, yeah, only academic, this will not be a good example for them, because when the students are going back to the mission or to the congregation, they will not use Greek and Hebrew in the pulpit. They will use maybe for themselves, but not for the people. But they will use the examples they had at the seminar and in the congregation they are attending for a while during the course, and so that they will be shaped as well in a good way when they are pastors or in charge of some mission work.
Talk then about this. Bringing this, the stories of the Bible and the Lutheran confessions to life, how can we help do that for our people, the people in the pew or the people in the chair? How can we actually make this real? Or how are your folks trying to do that in the African context?
The Bible is always the beginning, yeah? And everything that you are, or I am teaching, or the other lectors are teaching, if it's not based on the Bible, it's not worthy, I would say so. And then the Bible stories. We cannot just tell the Bible stories, but we have to bring them to the daily life of the people. And then a good experience in Mozambique. Some people there, they don't understand Portuguese. They understand and they speak only the local language. And we are walking in an area that speaks Xisena. This is the local language, Xisena. And then some candidates came also to become pastor and they don't understand Portuguese. I and my colleagues couldn't teach them what to do. They asked for two of the ordained pastors to teach them at least the Bible stories. And then one of them told me after this experience he had when he was telling the Bible stories. And then when he mentioned the relationship with some Bible stories of the Old Testament, with the Bible stories of the New Testament, like the story of Jonah, and the 3 days he was in the belly of the fish, and that Jesus mentioned it, that this would happen and really happened with himself, that he would be 3 days in the grave and would rise again. He said the students became so excited, they stand up, began to clap and do noise and sing. And so when they realized how is the link between the events of the Old Testament and the events of the New Testament, that is the same God that is working for the salvation of the people. And so the Bible stories are not just stories. I had the opportunity to quote Luther several times. And Luther said, if you are studying the Bible just as a book, you have a manger only with straw. If you don't see Jesus in the Bible, it will really only be a book for you. But if you see Jesus in the Bible, in all theological education, of course, then you will see God's love and salvation for you and for the others. And so the importance to have the Bible stories at the beginning of everything, theological education.
Now, you mentioned many of these candidates are going back into their villages, their towns, where animism is the predominant religion. How do they try and bring the gospel to people who are animists?
You know, for our reality, it maybe seems very strange what I will say. Sometimes they have to practice exorcism. Here to expel the demon from some person or from some houses. This is not something common in the Lutheran Church, but there it must be. And I'm just quiet about it because I had one experience on that matter in Brazil once, but not in Mozambique. But when they come back and report what sometimes they have to do, how to pray, how to read the Bible in some houses, in really to say to Satan, go away, because now Jesus is entering this home. And they do it, and God is blessing them. I was telling one Bible story of the Old Testament and interpretation when God prohibited people to offer their children to the gods, yeah, through the fire in Leviticus. And when I read the text, the students became very quiet and uncomfortable. Then I interrupted the class and said, what is happening with you? And they were reluctant to say, but at the end, one of them said, Pastor, this is still happening here. I think what? Children's sacrifices. When you want to become rich, or you dig a well that shall not dry, always have water, you have to sacrifice one of your children. But how does it happen? With a knife or with fire? No, no, they just poison the child and offer to one of the spirits. Can you believe it, Pastor John, that it still happened in the 21st century? I was so shocked. Then I said to them, are you aware how important are your message now bringing Christ to the people and the message of life, not a message of death? A message of hope, not a message of fear. And for your children to bring them as infants to the baptism. And they said, yeah, we are aware about. And therefore, I will repeat again, it happened on New Pentecost in Mozambique. Because they are witnessing and bringing people from the darkness to the light of Christ.
And in our West, which is really much a post-Christian society, one of the things I think the church really has to offer to our people here is a good understanding of anthropology, Christian anthropology, that human beings really are important, that we are made in the image of God, that God loves us and died for us on the cross, and we are that important to God. So that's a universal message in maybe in different ways, depending on our culture and context. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, we need to be sure that God wants the best for us, for every one of us. And he don't want people to be lost. No, no. He said, go to all nations, make disciples from all nations. No one is excluded from God's plan, from God's love. No one is excluded from this.
And you also were telling me a little earlier about the translation of Luther's Small Catechism that you're doing for the people in Mozambique. Can you tell us a little bit about that and the impact that's having?
Yeah, one of the candidates, he is very smart in language and has more facility to translate. And he translated Luther's Small Catechism first, 2015, only what Luther wrote. And this was printed in Brazil. And this year he finished the translation of all the catechism with the questions and answers and Bible verses and Bible stories, whatever more, what we call the Schwann edition. And it was printed in Brazil as well. And we are bringing from Brazil to Mozambique. And so that the leaders, the candidates and the pastors and the leader of the church in that village, specific village, they have at least one catechism and one Bible in Shisena with them so that they can read and explain. And what is something new happening even among them? Usually the elderly people are the leaders. What is happening now, the younger people are becoming leaders because they know how to read and how to write. The elderly people don't know. They didn't have opportunity to go to school. And the young people are going to school. And then they are preaching, teaching at home, in the church, and whatever more so. Something amazing. And now they have the Bible in Shisena, and they have the catechism in Shisena. And we will translate other books too. But this is very important, is a very important step for the growth of the church and establishment of the church in Mozambique.
So I'm very interested at your work in the seminary, then, how you teach preaching. How do you go about that? And as Lutherans, we understand the importance of the proclamation of God's word. But it sounds like this is particularly important in the context where you are serving.
Yeah, this is something interesting what happened last year, 2019. The lecturer in charge of homiletic, this means how to prepare a sermon, how to preach, he is also the local pastor. The seminar hosted a congregation in our premises in South Africa. And Pastor Nathan, then he was teaching the students about how to prepare and how to preach. And of course, the students had to preach the first sermon before the colleagues and before the lecturers. And it was, for me, it was a very nice experience because they were not shy. They were not scared. They were eager to do it. And almost all of them began the sermon with some personal experience. The text they had to preach about is, if someone brings you a new gospel or a different gospel than the gospel of Jesus, shall be condemned. What does it mean, a new gospel? Then all of them had experience from their own country or culture or whatever more so, that they began telling that experience. And then they came, what is the true gospel of Jesus, the Son of God, that came on Christmas, was put to death on Good Friday, and rose again on Easter, and is among us, and so. It's a very nice experience, you know, that show that they didn't only learn how to prepare a text to preach, but how to bring the text to the local reality, to the day-by-day of the people. I was very well impressed with the first sermon of the candidates.
And also, I'm very interested in how you teach worship. I mean, what is there a structure to the worship? Is there a mixture of, say, African music and hymnody? And you talked about the importance of baptism, but what role or importance, say, does the Lord's Supper have within in the worship life of folks in Mozambique or South Africa within the churches there?
Yeah, let me just begin with the baptism, yeah? My first year there, 2018, my classes was about the Augsburg Confession. It is, you can say, the main document of the Lutheran Church. And one of the students is married, and he had a child who was 4 years old. And then I realized then 2 Sundays after that class of baptism, he baptized the little child. He brought the child to baptism. And I asked him, Shukuru, he's a Congolese, hey, Shukuru, was your child not baptized? He said, no, we have a Pentecostal background. I said, and why did you baptize the child now? He said, because I learned from the Confession of Augsburg in your classes how important the baptism is. And when the couple had a second baby this year, they baptized him immediately. The first week, they brought him to the church to be baptized, because I taught them also that Martin Luther was baptized when he was 1 day old. Only 1 day. And after this, he was very proud to say, I was only 1 day in the hand of the devil, because the day after, my parents and my church put me in the hand of Jesus through the baptism. This is something amazing. And the Holy Communion, of course, too, they have to learn how important it is, the body and blood of Christ, given and shed for us for forgiveness of sins. The experience in Mozambique is very interesting, because for them to buy a bottle of wine is very, very, very expensive. They don't produce wine. Wine comes from Portugal or from South Africa. And they are not used to alcohol or whatever more so. Then you have to explain all the details through the body and blood of Jesus under and with the bread and the wine. And they really believe it and enjoy it when they have Lord's Supper every second month or when the pastor is able to come to the congregation. About the liturgy and the way of worship, this is a very good question. The traditional liturgy of the Lutheran Church, it is very similar of the traditional liturgy of the Anglican Church and of the Roman Catholic Church as well, because it comes from the early Christian time, was translated to the Shesena language too. Of course, we couldn't teach them the tune, because the way they sing and praise is totally different that we are used to. Then they worship with the same liturgy that we are using here in England or in Brazil or in South Africa, which is speaking. And to teach, as the oral tradition is very strong there, and many people don't know how to read, the pastors say the common salutation, the Lord be with you, and people just repeat it, the Lord be with you, and also with you, and people repeat it, also with you. When they confess the creed, the pastor said, I believe in God the Father Almighty, and people repeat, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Amen. And so they are repeating for a year until they know how it flows, and then they are able to worship. With the hymns, I tried once to teach them some of the Lutheran traditional hymns. It didn't work. The tune, the way of worship, they have to dance, they have to clap, they have to do noise, they have to, really, the way they worship, the way they dance and celebrate is something amazing. But when it's time to listen to the word, you don't hear one. Even the children are seated on the floor, quiet, and listen to the word. It's something amazing. In South Africa also, the congregation where I worship, they use the traditional liturgy. The pastor sings, people repeat. But during the service, it appears on the screen, the pastor on the screen there, appears choruses. And then they sing the local choruses in their own language, because the service is all in English. But in their own language, they sing and dance and clap, and one lead, the other lead, and so. And it's a mix. The worship is a mix. And I ask to the students, how far will you able to use the liturgy when you are going back to your home country? They said, not this kind of liturgy or tune, because people will not sing it that way, but we will follow the order of service as we are learning here, but adapting it to the local reality.
Dr. Winterly, thank you again for these wonderful challenges and insights on mission vision and dealing with the ability to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and in care and in mercy through all we do. If folks want to find out more about the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Pretoria, do you have a website they can go to? And again, how might they be able to financially as well as prayerfully support the work that you are doing there?
Yeah, you are welcome to visit our website, LTS, from Lutheran Theological Seminary, LTS.ac.za. LTS.ac.za. And for financial support, they can access the website of the church in England, Evangelical Lutheran Church in England, ELCE. And through the website, you will find out how to send donations, how to support, or even how to contact us, assuring your prayers for us and your support for us. This is very important for the students as well.
Dr. Carlos Walter Winterly, we thank you for, again, your wonderful words of encouragement and for the work that the Lord is using you and your colleagues to do in South Africa and Mozambique. Please take our greetings to them, and we do pray God's richest blessings upon you. Again, we've been friends for many years, and I deeply appreciate that friendship, and I do hope it isn't long before our paths cross again. Thank you, Walter, very much.
Thank you for this opportunity, and God bless you and all the church and people here in England.
Thank you for listening to The Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.